This is KBOO Portland. Next up on an encore presentation of Black Book Talk, hosts Patricia Welch, Emma Jackson Ford, and O.B. Hill interview author Charlotte Sherman about her book Brown Sugar Babe for Beautiful Brown Skinned Children.
Let me tell you about this girl, maybe I should. I met her in Philly, and her name was Brown Sugar. See, we be making love constantly. That's why my eyes are a shade blood burgundy. The way that we kiss is unlike any other way that I be kissing. When I'm kissing, what I'm missing, won't you listen? Brown sugar, babe, I guess high up your love, I don't know how to be.
Brown sugar, good morning and welcome to Black Book Talk. I am Patricia Welch, Librarian Emeritus.
O.B. Hill, Let's Read, Walk, and Talk.
Emma Jackson Ford, Bookwoman.
And this morning, we are delighted to welcome back to Portland via the airwaves, Charlotte Watson Sherman. We're going to talk to her about her latest book, Brown Sugar Babe, which is just such a beautiful book. I mean, I just encourage all of you to try to find the book just to glory in the artwork. It is an absolutely beautifully illustrated book and a lovely poem. And Charlotte, some of you may remember, was at one time the computer lab coordinator at the North Portland Library. So she is familiar to Portland, and some of you may be familiar with her and another guys. But author Charlotte, welcome to Black Book Talk.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you for this book. This book was just so lovely to look at. Tell us a little bit about the book so, you know, people will know. Later on, we'll ask you to read an excerpt. But just for those of us who hadn't had a chance to see it, I think it was just published, what, 2 days ago?
Yes, on Tuesday was the official book birthday. And the way that the book came to fruition, there were a couple of sparks for it. One was I overheard this beautiful brown-skinned toddler refer to herself as being pink. And at the time, you know, she was really infatuated with pink, so I knew that it could just be that she liked pink, but it also made me wonder about that doll experiment back in the day that led to the desegregation of schools when they presented black and white dolls to black children, and the black children would often attribute positive characteristics to the white dolls and negative ones to the black dolls. So it made me think about that. And then I kept seeing these posts on social media about black children who were committing suicide, and it was very shocking to me that children, number one, had that thought even in their minds, and number two, knew what to do to actually complete that act. And so I wanted to find a way as a writer to kind of transform the grief that I was feeling behind hearing about these accounts into something positive. And so I wanted to write something that I hoped would prevent at least one child from wanting to do anything like that. I wanted to just write something that would just infuse brown children with love and would help instill a love for themselves when they heard the poem. So,
oh, I have no doubt that, you know, either reading or listening to this book is going to enhance the self-esteem of any child and delight the person reading to them.
I love that just reading the words is comfortable. The book cover, the illustration, it's very soothing just to the eye. And then reading the words just makes it even more so. So I am very sure that this is going to be a very comfortable book for a lot of people.
I hope so. When I've only spoken with the illustrator during a conference call early in the process, and they wanted, my input into whatever she was going to be doing, but I wanted to leave that all up to her. But all I asked is that when a child heard these words, that I just wanted love to radiate off of all of the pages, every page. I just, and especially when they ended the book, I wanted them to just feel wrapped in love, and I feel like Akim accomplished that you know, even I think she even went beyond that. I woke up on the book birthday, my youngest daughter, who is actually an adult, but and you know, she I exposed them to the book and the illustrations early in the process. But of course, you know, she's busy in her life. She had really, she kind of glanced at it and went on about her day. But she sent me these texts because she actually sat down and read the book, and she was just. She was blown away because she felt like it was going to be something nice for the children, but she felt affirmed as an adult reading the book as well. So I feel like as a team, we accomplished what we set out to do.
Now, what age group is this aimed at?
It's aimed at 4 to 8 year olds, but as I said, my youngest daughter is in her 30s, so she feels like it, you know, it's something that can appeal to that age group as well. And I've also heard from other people saying that adults can benefit from the message too.
You know, I think for so long, and even now, Black women, frequently we feel like we're under attack because for our appearance, that somehow our skin color isn't valued as much. There are still issues about Black women wearing their hair in styles that are natural and take advantage of our coiliness or whatever. So I think for many of us who came up during the time when we did not feel affirmed and felt that the only route to success was to be as white as possible, I think, you know, we still have that sort of residual feeling, and it's still good for all of us to see things that show our beauty and affirm us. I want to kind of circle back to the whole process of working with the illustrator, because I can't even believe that you two weren't like sitting right next to each other. She has just matched your poetry in such a lovely way. So you're saying you only met her once? Is this common?
By telephone.
Yikes.
I didn't know that my editor at the publishing company, she selected the illustrator. Well, she gave me some options and, you know, wanted my input. But Anna Kim was the one that we all agreed, you know, we wanted to work with. And she agreed to do the project. So, yeah, I mean, I've only spoken with her. I've never met her face to face at all.
And had you seen her work, her published work before?
Yes, I saw some of her portfolio, and so it had this like magical kind of eternal quality to it, which I really like, being the kind of daydreaming person.
The cover with the two little girls, and you know, we see them in profile, and it creates warmth. It just really is lovely. Well, I'm fascinated that this could have turned out so well. I mean, certainly your editor is great, but this artist is wonderful. I hope in the future we can bring her and some other illustrators in, because they do so much to make your words come alive. So, you know.
Oh, no doubt. And I mean, I asked her during that phone conversation, like, how, you know, because I don't know anything about the illustration process. So I was like, how are you going to create this character? You know, that I mean, I haven't described anything. I mean, I trust the artist, so it's like I'm going to, you know, whatever they go with, I'm going to pretty much be in agreement with. But I was asking her, how are you going to do that? And she said, I'm going to base it on myself. And so then she, so I said, okay. And she told us this anecdote about when she was around 9 years old, I think it was, and it had something to do with a flesh-colored pen in class or flesh colored crayon in class, and she chose like the pinkish colored one, and so it made her remember that experience in her life, because you know, she's not pink, she's brown. So it's like I was happy that she found a way to connect to the story from her own personal experience.
Great.
Do you have a schedule yet for going on tour to promote the book?
No, this is my first picture book, and from what I'm learning, I was supposed to have started marketing stuff like a year ago, and that did not happen. And so this is kind of a different kind of process. I am going to be doing a workshop on Saturday with a visual artist friend for some school librarians. We're going to be doing a bookmaking workshop, and then I may you know, I may show up at a couple conferences in the summer, like in Miami and possibly in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and then maybe something in Seattle. But yeah, so far that's about it.
So you're going to be in Seattle. Is there a chance we'll see you here in Portland?
We'll see. I still haven't quite solidified what exactly I'm going to do when I go to Seattle, because I think what I'd like to do, as opposed to doing some kind of story time reading for children, is call more attention to the suicide crisis, the Black youth suicide crisis. So I would like to do something along with like some Black mental health professionals and do something for the community in that way. So that's what I'm going to be working on, having take place up in Seattle. So we'll see. We'll see if it comes together.
Let's hear a little bit about this, a little excerpt from your poem. I like the part about class type with a zigzag and lightning strikes.
Okay. Let me find that page. Okay, I'll just start from the page before that. Stick around, brown sugar babe. Brown is silent, a raisin crinkling in the sun. Tree rings that tell time ever since year one. A sand dollar glinting on the beach in winter. Clay turning to mud after a cloudburst of rain splinters. Our brown hands clasp tight when a zigzag of lightning strikes.
Thank you. Okay, you said this is your first picture book, but it certainly isn't your first book. So tell us a little bit about the other things that you've written.
Okay, well, in the past, like a couple of decades ago, I wrote and published some novels. And I'm an issue kind of driven writer, so usually what I write is tied to some kind of issue in the community. So my first novel was based on abandoned children. I had done some work as a child welfare caseworker, and I wanted to write something, a healing story about abandoned Black children. And so that's why I wrote the novel One Dark Body. And then the next novel was, it was about HIV, because Black women were being impacted by HIV at alarming rates. And so I wanted to write something to get information out about that situation. And so that novel was called Touch. And then I've written some other things. Most recently, in terms of publishing, again, issue-driven, I was really just kind of, like a lot of people, overwhelmed with all of the hashtag deaths that we were hearing about in terms of police killings. You know, Tamir Rice, Trayvon Martin, Sandra Bland. And then once it got to the summer where it was Alton Sterling and Philando Castile, I was just pretty much beside myself, like a lot of other people. And as a writer, the thing that makes me feel better in these kinds of situations is to write or create something, try to create something positive. And at that time, what got me through that summer was driving to the ocean. At the time, I lived about 45 minutes away from it down here in California. So I drive to the ocean, and I was writing these Nat Turner poems. And so luckily, a couple of those, I didn't think they would ever see the light of day, but Medgar Evers College, their review, the Killens Review, ended up publishing a couple of them last fall. So those are my couple of my most recent publications, I guess.
Okay, and I think that, I don't know if it's One Dark Body or Touch, but I'm sure at one time all of your books were in the Multnomah County Library collection, but it just seems to me that One Dark Body was still in the collection the last time that I checked. So if people want to read some of your works for adults, they're certainly readily available.
Well, I don't know. You know, it's like that was in the 90s, so like a lot of the... I was just thinking about this because I was back in the day in a writing group, and like a lot of the filmmakers, I don't know if you remember, like when Julie Dash and some of these other filmmakers were coming out with their films in the 90s. And then I recently read an article where they were talking about how they were kind of shut down. You know, we thought it was like some kind of renaissance about to happen, but for their careers, it was kind of it was not a renaissance for them. And so, and so I was just kind of reflecting on how a lot of us in the writing group I was a part of, that same thing had happened. Like, none of us really published very much after the 90s. So, but we still write, you know, we still, because we were, Colleen McElroy, this professor at the University of Washington, had warned us early on that if we wanted to be writers, no, she said that if we could stop writing, we should stop. Because it was not an easy career path to be on. And so having that kind of input early in the process kind of helps us keep going, even, you know, if we're facing years of not being published.
So what do you see for next? Is this the beginning of a series of children's books?
Well, supposedly there's another one coming out next year, and we'll see. actually, this is one that I, again, based on a young girl named Mackenzie, a 9-year-old that I had read about, who was bullied at school. You know, like you were saying about adults being told they weren't attractive, Black women, this is a little 9-year-old girl having these white boys calling her names and saying things about how she looked and all of this. And so she ended up committing suicide. And so I wanted to take that and I just wanted to take that memory of her and transform it into a character. And so my next one is based in her, well, in memory of her, and it's called Mermaid Kenzie, Protector of the Deep. So it's about plastic in the ocean, basically. Another issue that I'm passionate about is the environment. So,
this book reminds me, when you talk about suicide, you remember Moms Mabley?
Yes.
She had a friend who wasn't taking care of herself that well, and so she, as Mom said, "You make me feel so bad." And she said she made me feel like committing suicide. So how do you commit suicide? And Mons Mabley gave her instructions of how to go about doing that, but she wasn't able to accomplish that. Do you remember that joke?
No.
No, I don't remember that.
No, because, you know, we were coming up. We heard Mons Mabley, but we weren't supposed to.
Right.
No, was there a punchline to it?
Well, what happened was the lady, she says, well, what you do, you take a 38, she's talking about a revolver now, and you measure 3 inches below your left breast and pull the
really?
Trigger.
What?
And she said, do you know what happened? That fool went home and shot herself in the knee. And so your writing is reminding me of things back in the 40s and 50s and 60s.
Oh, my God. And you know what? That's good, because I was able to read to my daughters books that I felt were, like, really pro-Black positive books. And I felt like when I went to try to read that kind of thing to my granddaughters, it wasn't available. So that's another reason why I wanted to start it. But that is... I think that's funny about
Well, it just shows that you get out of things what you bring to them. So. But now, I think I've mentioned this to you when you lived and worked here. I think that as a librarian, that you should be writing a book at some point about libraries, because I think there's almost this... this secret life of libraries, and now that Multnomah County is a library district and doesn't have to go out for votes every 3 or 5 years for their survival, there may be little interesting stories that can be told. Nothing, citizens of Multnomah County, that would make you want to take your money back. It's a fabulous library system. But so many people think that libraries are or should still be places where people just smile and say, shh. And I mean, I just think there are hilarious stories that would come out of it, but that's just me. But are you still, is that in the back of your mind?
Well, you know I've been encouraging you to write a book.
No, Charlotte, I'm not going to write the book.
I've been
so you have to write the book. Now, see, now the conversation.
I know I've been encouraging you because, as you say, there's so many characters that come into the library, and especially like if people haven't been in libraries for a long time, it's not like it was back in the day. It certainly wasn't when I started working, when I was shocked by some of the stuff that happens in libraries. But Patricia, you're an expert on that.
I will consult with you, but I am the reader. You are the writer. We will take this conversation offline since it's not bringing me to the answer that I was hoping for.
I know. But I do have I am working on revising a novel where one of the characters is a librarian who's based on you. There's a mixture of you and another a librarian, a Multnomah County librarian, that are the impetus for this particular character. So I hope that will one day get published.
Well, I want to review that. Okay.
I can't show it to you before it gets published, though. I can't show it to you until after it's published.
Okay. Well, moving right along. No, but did you have a question? I'm looking.
Well, because of the way you've used a lot of color words, painting with words, I was wondering, are you an illustrator, too? I know you didn't illustrate this book, but are you an illustrator?
No, but I love artists and visual artists. And, I wish that I was a painter, but no, I don't have any. I can't even draw a straight line. no, but I admire them very much. And I actually have a few friends who are painters and visual artists. So, yeah, no. I'm just an admirer.
When you sit down and you have an idea like this, this is fascinating. How long does it take you to put a poem like this together?
Well, the way that this happened was, there's this event, and I like to tell writers about this, especially writers of color. There's an event that happens on Twitter online twice a year, and it's called DV Pit. It's like diverse voices pitching, where you can pitch ideas for book projects for children and adults. And I had worked on a couple of pitches for a couple of books and labored over these pitches, because you can only do it in a certain amount of characters on Twitter. So it's like, I don't know, 140 characters or something. So I labored over these pitches. And the first two that I pitched, I didn't get any kind of response to. And so my third one was I just threw out the idea about this book celebrating the color brown, using the senses, using all of the senses. And so that's the one that got a couple of likes from like an agent and an editor at a publishing company. And so once I actually ended up talking by phone with the editor and she wanted to do the book, then I had to sit down and write it, because I just pitched an idea. And so the process of writing the actual poem, I think I worked on it for probably about a month. And the way that I did it was, since I knew I wanted to explore all the senses, I just made a list of each. I took each sense, like five of the senses, and then I researched like anything associated with that sense connected to the color brown. And then I use a kind of rhyming dictionary, because I like to do wordplay. I've wanted to be a writer since I was in elementary school, so I like to play with words. When I was in high school, I read the dictionary for fun. I was one of those kind of nerds. And so anyway, I just made these lists, and then I pulled from the list and just played with the words, and then that's how the poem came together. And my editor tweaked a couple of parts to it, but that it's almost like it. I sent it to her.
We have a few more minutes left. Would you mind reading a little more from the book, starting from the beginning, maybe from first page to where you say your hair a crown of brown curls?
Okay. When you were born, it was dark behind your sleeping eyes, blackish reddish brown before the grand surprise, when you blinked and beheld a world of color. I'm pink, you declared once you grew a tad older. Pink, you whispered, then shouted much bolder. You're brown like me, I said, raising your hands to the sun. Beautiful, precious brown, my little one. I don't want to be brown, said little brown you. Brown isn't sunny or yummy or cute. Brown, I said, bubbling brown sugar babe, honeyed and bright as marmalade. Your brown eyes are chocolate drops, brown sugar babe. Your hair a crown of brown curls, fierce as a lion's mane.
Oh, really, folks, you got to see this book. You have to read this book. I mean, even the typefaces, I mean, you know, it varies throughout the book. So, I mean, it's a book that you can read to a child and they'll just enjoy looking at the words, seeing how it's laid out, but also the background. I mean, Akim is the name of the illustrator. Just the beautiful background. I mean, I like earth tones anyway, so this is like, hey, my book. But even if you don't, this is a great book. It's now available in bookstores. Is it available online?
It is. It's available at Powell's. They actually have it on the shelves at Powell's. Online, of course, at any independent bookstore, you can order it.
Through Amazon?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And I think we will be looking for it on the shelves of your local libraries. If you don't see it, I think folks should just put in the request. This is a very accommodating library system to make sure.
That
we get this book out because people need to see this.
Can you tell us about the Twitter thing again?
Yes, it's called DV Pit. It happens every April and October. There's like one day that's designated for children and young adults and another day that's designated for adults and now I think illustrators as well. And so it's something you can look up online. If you just Google DV Pit, you can go to the website and get more particulars on how you submit and how you pitch your ideas.
Okay,
thank you. We unfortunately have come to the end of our almost 30 minutes for the program. So we want to thank you for joining us. We want to encourage our listeners to go out and find Black Sugar Babe by Charlotte Watson Sherman, illustrated by Akim, and that's spelled A-K-E-M. Charlotte, thank you so much for joining us. And hopefully when the next book comes out, you will come by and call us. You need to come by. I don't know why, but I feel like if folks knew you were coming, that maybe you might be invited to come back and do a reading at your old stomping grounds at the North Portland Library. But you'll always be welcome here on Black Book Talk. No doubt about that.
Thank you so much, Patricia. And maybe it'll be your book we're talking about.
Bye, Charlotte.
Thank you, Charlotte.
Thank you very, very much.
Have a wonderful day. Okay, and everybody out there, we'll be looking forward to talking to you again. This is Patricia Welch, librarian emeritus, saying have good reading next month.
See you in March.
Let's read, walk, and talk on Black Book Talk. I guess high up your love, I don't know how to be.